Reading to you from the first chapter of Romans and with the 15th verse. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. And even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moen. As you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then one year later, God called me to preach. And I've been sharing Christ ever since. My stars. You know what? 85 this month. 20th of January, 85 years old. And I've been preaching all these 55 years, 50, actually 54. And I'm telling you, I don't know anybody that I would trade with right now. Even the multimillionaires I wouldn't trade with, because I got something. Not only do I have salvation, I got a call from God. And so do you. If you're born again, you are called of God. Please listen tonight. I pray that this message will bless your heart. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 21st chapter of Revelation. Let's begin reading with the first verse. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. We've labeled this message, Tears Gone Forever. Let's talk about a neglected subject, which is eternity. Most of our thoughts, they center on temporary things. That's right. But our time here is short, and eternity is time without end. Those who are born again can anticipate a bright eternity, but heaven is ahead for the saved. Heaven will be a far better place. Now, this is what believers have awaiting them after death. Eternity with our Savior. Verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. He will dwell with them. Now, faith in Christ begins a wonderful walk with God. Now, their walk with the Lord continues in heaven. And the Bible said he will dwell with them forever. Now, they shall be his people. Well, when you're born again, you're born into the family of God. That's a spiritual birth. Ye must be born again. And God himself shall be with them. He will be their God. Now, let's read verse 3 again. That's one of the nicest things. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Just imagine eternity without tears. Oh, listen, there are many tears here on earth. Well, the first sign of life in a baby is a cry. Now, the disappointments and hurts of childhood, and shattered dreams of the working years, and the loneliness and pains of old age. I know what I'm talking about, because I am in old age. I'm 85 years old, the 20th this month. And I thank the Lord for the wonderful years He's given me. Has my life been easy? Absolutely not. I have been sick probably 20 years of my life. I've had operations and cancer and heart attacks and all these things. Well, it also tells us that Jesus was a man of sorrows. And I read in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, 3rd verse, He is despised and rejected of men, and man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Dear friends, did you know the most hated man in this whole world today is not Obama, was not Hitler, was not Mussolini, but was Jesus? Why would they hate someone that loves you? Now, he did no wrong. He did no sin. He went about healing the sick, raising the dead. And he stands even tonight, beloved, even though you've done terrible things to him. He stands with outstretched arms right tonight, saying, Come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden. He knows that you've lost your wife or you lost your husband. He knows all about that. You say, well, why did he let him die? Because heaven is going to be filled full of people who heaven is so much better than earth, my friend. Now, you take the Muslims, they think life is nothing to them. They want to get up to heaven and those virgins. That's what they say. But before they go, they want to kill all the infidels and they want to kill all the Jews. That don't sound right, does it? It doesn't to me. There's no love in their heart. All they have is hate. And they sure hate Jesus. Oh, they love Allah. But if they only knew, there is no Allah. He is a dead god, just like Baal was a dead god. Well, Jesus, I said, was a man of sorrows. And remember it in Gethsemane, Matthew 26, 38. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. But did you know what? All of his disciples went to sleep. And I'm wondering tonight, is that what has happened to our churches today? No one seems to care. The Bible tells me that we who know Jesus are to go out in the highways and the byways and bring them in. We don't even visit people. You and I have eternal life and we don't even visit. We don't care. Oh, we'll drop a little witness down. And you know what? Beloved, your best preaching, if you're a Christian, your best preaching is your testimony because it's personal. Yes, I was lost in sin. Yes, I knew I was doomed and damned on the road to hell. But this night, the God's Holy Spirit began to tug at my heart. And I fell upon my knees and I cried out and I repented. Otherwise, I turned my back on the old way of life and cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Did you know, and I've said this the other day, rarely do you see the word repent preached in any church. I don't care what denomination. They don't use it. And Jesus said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. So it must be a tremendously important job. Well, anyway, they slept, and Jesus was facing the cross. And, oh, my friends, don't you think he didn't know what he was facing? Not only that, but he was facing humiliation. But you know what? He knew on that cross that he would lead one more precious soul to Christ before he died. Don't you remember in Lazarus 11:35, and said he, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Come and see. And Jesus wept. You know what? Some of you tonight have shed tears even during this message. You've lost a husband or you've lost a wife. Or you're going to lose your home or you've lost your job and there's no money to pay the rent and there's no food in the house. You think God's not concerned? Well, now here's what he says. Think about this, beloved. You have not because you ask not. You said, you mean to tell me we're to even ask for, give us this day our daily bread? Sure you can ask. If you're born again, if you are in the family of God, you are his child. And you have the right to come to God and ask him for help. Well, a lot of Christians won't. You know what a man told me one time? Well, Cecil, there's so many people who've got more troubles than I just don't want to bother the Lord. Well, then you don't want to be in fellowship with him, do you? He loves to hear from his children. I want to ask you the question that's going to knock you for a loop. When was the last time that you told Jesus you loved him? You say, are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you at all. I tell him that several times a day, that I love him. And I thank him that I'm not in a rest home. Most people 85 are going to rest homes. Right now, I'm still not going. Still got my little scooter and my Bible and my oxygen bottle, and away we go, down through those prisons, sharing this wonderful Jesus. Now, if I hadn't had heart attacks and cancer operations and a few other things, maybe I wouldn't have had the compassion. And I said this in a church one time, and they almost died. I thank God I said that I was an alcoholic. They couldn't believe that I'd make a stupid statement like that. Oh, but friends, you don't know how many alcoholics I've had the privilege and honor to introduce to Jesus. Had I not been one, I probably wouldn't have cared. No, you don't have to be an alcoholic to have compassion on other alcoholics. No, you don't. But if you have Jesus in your heart, you should have a little compassion. You should care for others. What did Peter say? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Well, the Bible said in Luke 19:41, and when he had come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Oh, he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I'd have gathered you unto me as a mother hen gathered a chick, but you would not. He knew why he died on the cross. He knew why he was to die on the cross, to save the sinners. That's what he died for. He said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. And tonight, beloved, if you don't know Jesus, you're lost. You're lost as a goose in the grass. And if you die in that condition, you'll burn in hell like a... Oh, friends, listen to me. I don't like to talk about hell, but it's in the Bible. You said, oh, yeah, Cecil, I know. God sends you to hell. I said, he does not. Don't you ever tell me God sends people to hell. You, the ball is in your court. You're going to tell the Lord where you want to spend. If you reject his son Jesus, you will go to hell. And you're the one that says that I will accept him or I'll reject him. Now tonight, you got to make a decision. You either got to say yay or nay. Either you love God or you don't love him. Either you want to serve him or you don't serve him. You say, well, Cecil, wait a minute now. Come on. Come on. I go to church. I ask the blessing at the table. I pay my bills. And I read my Bible. You mean there is more to Christianity than that? I hope to kiss a fat pig, it does. That's just the beginning. That's just a natural thing. If you really are truly born again, you are going to be concerned about other people. If you're not concerned, and I'm going to tell you something that will make you mad. If you have never witnessed to a person, if you've never tried to introduce a soul to Christ, I doubt, that you know the Jesus of Calvary. Oh, that's going to make some people mad, but it's true, beloved. When I got Jesus in my heart, the first thing I did, I wanted to win my brothers. I wanted to win my stepmother. That's the first thing that come across my mind. So it's normal. It's not abnormal. Now, I'll tell you this. People are not born soul winners. No, you're not. And you know what? The job of that pastor is to train you and to teach you how to introduce a soul to Christ. They're to tell you what the Bible says and so you can believe it. Why are you baptized? Why do you join a church? Why do you rededicate your life? It's all in the Scriptures. Well, the Bible tells it that God will wipe away all tears. Oh, friends, I've shed many a tear. Oh, many, many a tears I've shed. When my mom died, my sis died, my dad died. Oh, my. Yes, I've had many tears. But I'll tell you right now, God said, you know what? I'm going to wipe away your tears, and you won't have to worry no more. Well, death brings separation. But he said there's going to be no more death for those that are in Christ Jesus. Separation of body and spirit. And I read in James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I remember one time, dear friends, when I was driving truck for the rescue mission in Bellingham, Washington, my helper was a lost Indian, Lummi Island Indian. I witnessed a Joe every day. I loved that crazy Indian, oh, I tell you. One time we were sent down to the mortuary to pick us some chairs. We were having a banquet at the mission. We went down there, and pretty soon Joe run out of there, and his face was white, and he was a dark Indian. He said, there's a dead man in there. I said, I know. I said, he's in that casket. I said, Joe, take a look at him. There's nothing there, is it? You see a body. You see no life. He's gone. That's right. And I said, the same way with you. Anyway, Joe gave his heart to Christ a few months later, and then he was killed, and he went home to be with the Lord. But death does bring separation. Separation from friends and loved ones. What is the last enemy that we will finally see destroyed? And that's in 1 Corinthians 15:26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Well, you say, you know why people don't want to die? They don't want to leave their loved ones. That's right. You know what I heard a woman say one time? Made me sick in my stomach. Is my husband going to heaven? I said, yeah. I said, I don't want to go then. That was a shame, wasn't it? Well, verse 4 again. Eternity without sickness. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. God shall wipe away all of our tears. No more pain, no more physical infirmities. In heaven we'll enjoy perfect health. Oh, friends, no more cancer, no more COPD, no more sugar diabetes, no more heart attacks. No headaches. All will be new, including us. Well, a timely word from Jesus, verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, and beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. You remember the lady at the well. Now, they hated the Jews, and the Jews hated them. But Jesus sat on that well there while his disciples were in town getting food. That shows that the Lord was human. He ate just like we did. And he asked this lady, Samaritan lady, for some water. What are you doing? You Jews don't have nothing to do with us Samaritans. He said, ma'am, if you knew who it was that asked, he said, if you take of this water, you'll never thirst again. Wow. Well, she was looking for that kind of water. She gave her heart to Christ, and she was living in immorality. Oh, she was a sinful lady. In fact, the guy she was living with, she wasn't married to him. And she had five other husbands. And she went back into town. Now, here she is a woman, immoral woman, but she's, her heart has been changed. She is now born again. Her sins are now washed in the blood. And she went back in town. She said, did you know, folks, I met the man that knew everything about my life. She said, isn't that the Jesus, the Christ we've been hearing about? And guess what happened? A whole city followed that immoral woman out there. Friends, I know a converted prostitute. I know a couple of converted prostitutes. They had lived as low as you could live. But one day, in the quiet of the evening, they cried out, God, be merciful to be a sinner. And Jesus forgave them and wrote their name in the Lamb Book of Life. And now they're no longer the same. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become as new. Jesus said he is the beginning and the end. And he offers living water to all who thirst. Come to him in faith and be satisfied forever. Are you thirsty tonight? Would you like to have peace? Would you like to be laid down at night and not feel guilty? And know that your sins are forgiven? And know that when you die, you're going to heaven. You'll have a mansion up yonder. Oh, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Oh, that's what he has for those who know Jesus. Well, maybe you've got a little old tugging at your heart tonight. Maybe that guilt has really come before you. And I'm telling you, friend, this well could be the very last time God's Holy Spirit will ever tug at your heart. Don't say no tonight. It might be your last. And every time you say no to God, he hardens your heart just a little more. And it'll be harder. If you have that tugging at your heart and you want to trust Jesus, bow your head to me right now and pray this powerful prayer. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I repent. I'm turning my back on the old way of life and inviting you into me, my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, give our phone a call, 303-471-8534, if you prayed that prayer. No, I won't embarrass you. I won't use your name on the air, and I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for money, because I don't do that. And I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. God bless you. Don't let the devil take you to hell.
Savior, sin
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I hope, trust, and pray that something happened in your life tonight. You say, Cecil, I've been a Christian, but I've been following far off. Well, come back to Jesus. Get on your knees. Tell him what you've done. Repent of it, and he'll forgive you. And you can restore you the joy of your salvation. That's what the book said. Well, listen, pray for me and my wife as we go to prison this month. And the Denver Rescue Mission, we have about, oh my, we'll have 300 to preach to. And pray that God will give us precious souls for our hire. Pray for this song that it'll come out. It'll be a soul-winning song, not a song about a man, but about a Savior. So, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. Oh, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.